Joining me now to talk all things golf, it is senior reporter and golf analyst Bob Weeks. Bob, thanks so much for joining the show.
Always a pleasure to be on with you, Matt.
And by the way, everyone, go to TSN.ca, read the man's work with TSN Edge. Yeah, he puts out his top picks, and we can still discuss it. You know what? Let's start here. Before we get into the more big-picture juicy stuff, you had Rory McIlroy. You liked him to win it at 10-1. He's minus one through two right now. Started with a birdie, then par. Just your thoughts on, and again, I know it's not like the crazy prediction, but still, your thoughts on Rory?
Well, Rory's had a great year, and he's really never been out of too many tournaments except last week when he missed the cut, and I picked him as well. I just thought he would probably come back from that a little bit, but he's such a generally a consistent player, great guy who can play well in big tournaments. We saw him at the RBC Canadian Open this year, logging that win, so that was one of my picks, and of course, he was the favorite, so that made it a little easier. Not much value, but it's always nice. It's tough to pick a winner in a golf tournament.
Oh, my God, yeah.
144 players in the horse race, so it's always good when you get one or two.
It's pure voodoo. Okay, you know what? Let's go off topic. I think I know the answer. Between yourself, Adam Scully, and Mark Sacchino, who crows the loudest and the longest when they pick a guy, when they get their pick right about who's going to win a tournament?
Oh, it's Mark Sacchino, and he has every right to scream a little bit louder, too. Yeah, I think he's picked seven winners this year, maybe eight.
What?
So he's had a really good year of picking the winner, so good for him. And he has a right to crow, but he certainly likes to tell us and remind us where we are now that the season's coming to a close.
God, that is crazy. You must show up for Golf.Canada, which you can hear on TSN 1050 on Monday in a gold-plated Bentley. One bet you like that, one that you threw out there that I liked was Sam Burns to finish in the top 10 at plus 220. And just when you look at his run this year, to me at plus 220, I thought that was a good bet.
Yeah, Sam Burns is a guy who has kind of I don't want to say he's been lost in the shuffle a little bit, but the guy has won three times this year. So
yeah.
He's had a pretty good season. And he's cooled off a little bit of late, but still, when you get into the playoffs, the guys like to tune it up a little bit, and there's some big money at stake, and there's lots of pride and what would you call it? I guess points for who's beating who and everything.
Yeah.
So these guys like to turn it up a little bit. But he's had a great year, as I said, and I thought there was some value in there, and hopefully prove me right by Sunday.
And so far, again, it's early, 2-under through 13, tied for 14th. But actually, it's a good leaderboard so far. A lot of recognizable names all over the place. Bob, let's get to me. And again, I'm excited to see what happens on Sunday at the BMW Championship. But on Thursday, I'm still more interested in what happened on Tuesday and what it could mean going forward. Just your overall thoughts first on this. It's not a reinvention of Tiger Woods, but what a fascinating next step in his journey where it feels like he is now swooping in to try to save the PGA.
Yeah, Tiger had I don't know if he actually called the meeting, but he certainly was the big guy in the meeting when it took place with a number, say about the top 20 players who are non-live players who were at this tournament this week, and they sat there, no other officials, nobody from the PGA Tour, no commissioners or anything, and they sat and talked for what was reportedly about 3 hours. Now, we don't know exactly what they talked about because they have sort of all done the double secret pinky, let's not tell anybody,
yeah,
shake. So we don't know, but you can pretty much guess what things they were talking about. You know, they were talking about how do they stop more players from going over, what should the future of the PGA Tour look like, probably the major championships and how they're going to attack those. Should the live players get those or be able to play in those? So there's a lot of stuff on the table right now, and I think it's sort of behooves the players now to kind of get themselves organized, and if the tour itself isn't going to do anything, then they should let them know. This is where we are. This is what we believe should happen. And it could be they say, look, we want you guys to sit down with those guys and work something out, or we don't want you to sit down. You know, there's a lawsuit now from 10 live players to the rest of the PGA Tour. So whatever they talked about, they seem to come out all very pleased with what they were doing and cohesive as a unit. So it's an interesting development that we'll see if we can hear any more of it in the coming days.
Yeah, and you hear Rory saying, listen, when Tiger walks in, there's only one alpha in the room, and it's not me. I mean, which I thought just a remarkable admission for one athlete to say. But again, it speaks to still the power of Tiger Woods. I'm fascinated. I wish there was a transcript of that meeting. And I guess the next step is what does Jay Monahan do? What does the commissioner do? That's the next thing I'm curious, because whatever he says or whatever comes next with the PGA, any changes, you have to think there's a direct link between that and that 3-hour meeting.
Yeah, without a doubt. I think that what will happen is Monahan will talk to perhaps Tiger or Rory or one of the players. Rory is the head of something called the PAC, the PAC, or the Players Advisory Council. So he speaks to Monahan quite regularly on some of the player issues. So he might be the one to go and say, hey, look, this is what we're thinking. This is what we think you should do as the next step. And perhaps Monahan will say, well, no, or maybe he'll say, yes, that's what we should do, and they'll get it going. But obviously there's a lot at stake. There's a lot sort of hanging in the balance right now. We've heard of some more players who are probably going to go over to live after the President's Cup, namely Cam Smith, the number 2 ranked player in the world. Liv is very upset about not getting any world ranking points. So, you know, it will be nice if we could just sort of get back to focusing on what's going on the golf course, but that may be a long ways away yet.
Yeah, joined by Bob Weeks, senior golf writer and analyst with TSN, and senior reporter. You know what's the other thing, Bob, I wonder, and there's no way you can answer this. This is something that I just thinking about. How do you think Bryson DeChambeau or Dustin Johnson or Brooks Koepka, how do you think they're feeling hearing about this meeting? Because it feels like it's like, wait a minute, the guy who I idolized as a child is now actively going out of his way to curtail what I'm doing with Liv. Like, it has to be wild if you're one of these golfers going, oh, wait a minute, Tiger Woods is against me. That has to be strange. I might have had his poster in my bedroom.
Yeah, I think there's, you know, I think when some of these players left Liv at the start, I think it was, okay, that's great. Good luck to you. You know, don't let the door hit you on the way out. But there was no love lost. I mean, there was no antagonism between. They didn't hate each other. There wasn't an us versus them. It was, okay, you're gone, I'm going to focus on my tour. But now that there's a lawsuit where 10 players have basically sued the PGA Tour, and the PGA Tour is these players, so I think there's a little more animosity between the two sides right now. And I bet there are some people who are could be a little bit surprised that Tiger is taking this position. I mean, Tiger is on the downside of his career. He's injured. He only played 3 times this year. So they may be a little surprised at it, and he could, you know, Tiger could very easily just ride off into the sunset and not have to worry about things. But
yeah,
so I think there is probably some, I don't know what the word would be, but I think these players are certainly be a little bit surprised at how forceful and how active Tiger is in this battle.
Oh, 100%. You know, it's wild. And I don't know why. I'm just so fascinated. I think it's just because Tiger's been in our life, and what he's doing now is certainly nowhere near as exciting as what he was in his prime with a club in his hand. But in a lot of ways, it's just as fascinating because, as you said, he could have rode off into the sunset. He could have taken $1 billion. Instead, he is going to, he's going to meetings and rallying the troops. It's just a fascinating part of his arc. Bob, we talked about this last year, and I'm going to do it again this year. What can be done to make the FedEx more of a part of just our sports brain calendar? In some ways, it is such a brilliant event where it gets whittled down, and it's for just a ton of cash with the best golfers in the world. The format for this should be pure catnip for sports fans.
Yeah, it's tough because, you know, there's another tournament next week or the week after the FedEx Cup finishes. That's one of the problems. There's no real off season. Now, that is likely to change not this year but next year, where the calendar year is going to end with the end of the season will in essence be January to the end of August. So it may feel a little bit more like the end of the season and a big sort of finale, which it doesn't really too much right now. The other thing they're going to change next year, it's not going to be the top 125. It's going to be the top 70, going to 50 and going to 30. So it's going to be more of the elite players who will make it into the FedEx Cup playoffs. And I'm not sure if there's any other way to kind of stir it up other than to stand at the top of the mountain and shout as loud as you can that, hey, we got this thing going on over here.
Yeah.
I mean, they've tried all sorts of different, ways of hosting the tournament, different rules, different regulations, different formats. And this is about the best they can get right now. So I think if there wasn't LIV going on right now, we might have a little bit more excitement to it, but it still does get lost in the general day-to-day action of sports.
Yeah, and but the thing is, it's in the summer, dog days of baseball, NFL is still a little bit a ways away. So for everyone out there, it's a great tournament. It was last week was fantastic. Hopefully the same for the BMW Championship. Check the man's work again. You'll see him on SportsCenter all the time. You'll read him at TSN.ca, and you'll hear him Golf Talk Canada 10 o'clock on Monday morning. All the best. Thanks, Bob, for joining the show today.
Okay, Matt. Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye. Take care. That is Bob Weeks.